Perfect. So we'll begin tonight's meeting. Hi, everyone. Good evening and welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Special Board Meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Schools. It's a pleasure to be with you all here tonight. Before we begin, I did have two brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it's something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, to the members of our board and staff, as always, please state your name before speaking. With that, we'll begin tonight's special board meeting. The day is Thursday, March 18th, 2021, and the time is 6:09 p.m. Rabbi Belia, may you please call the meeting to order.
Good evening, everyone. I am Rabbi Chaim Beliak. I have the honor of being the chair of the board, and it is with a heavy heart that I welcome you this evening to our meeting. We have some business to attend to, and after we read the agenda and approve it, I'd like to refer to the loss of six Asian women that were gunned down yesterday in Atlanta, and would ask that we, after we've done our preliminary opening, have a moment of silence in their memory.
Of course, Rabbi Billick, we can do that at item E, that way it could be appropriate before we begin anything further. So with that, I'll take roll call so we can establish quorum. Rabbi Billick?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpinel?
Here.
Dr. Dickbush?
Here.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Here.
Thank you to our board members. Quorum is established. Next, we'll move on to item C, approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. I'll now take roll call vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpinel? Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment, 6 minutes if translation is needed. We did not receive any public comments form for this meeting. However, if you're a member of the public and you would wish to give a comment, please unmute yourself now.
Hi, Jennifer, this is Principal Searst. Can I give a quick public comment?
Go ahead, Mr. Searst.
Good evening, board members, our wonderful home office team, and community members. My name is Gökhan Searst. I'm the principal of our MSA San Diego Wizards Middle School. And I am excited to announce that tonight I received a letter from Superintendent Thurmond announcing that our school, MSA San Diego Wizards, is recognized as a California Distinguished School in 2021. And we are so excited and also thankful for our wonderful Magnolia community members. And I sent you a separate email with details too. Again, I would like to recognize that this recognition is a result of all the hard work of all the schools, all the principals sharing best practices with each other, and then bringing those good trainings from our leaders to our school. And we are, of course, successful because we have a wonderful group of students and parents, where the parents, staff, and the students, we work together, and we were able to achieve this. This is my first California Distinguished School recognition in my career, so I'm so excited and also proud of our community. There were 5 schools. They were recognized in San Diego Unified School District. And 2 of them were charter schools out of 50 charter schools. We were the 2 Proyas Charter School and Magnolia Science Academy San Diego. And there are a total of 9 schools from San Diego County recognized as a California Distinguished School. I have my very amateur design for my background to put that logo in right away. But thank you all. And I just wanted to share that with our wonderful community.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate you, Gökhan, and all of your team and students and parents. This is an amazing achievement. I feel very proud and humbled to be part of this community. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Gökhan, for bringing us this good news. And we're very proud of your achievement. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Are there other public comments? If not, as I mentioned in the opening, I'd like us to take a moment to reflect on the loss of 6 individuals who were murdered in what has become a rising tide of anti-Asian prejudice and hate. And of course, we members of this board are not strangers to knowing about hate, as our constituencies are often targets of hate. Before we have this moment of silence, I think it's important to reflect on the fact that these things grow when they are expressed in the body politic in different ways in politics and in culture. We are a community dedicated to education, which demands that educators reflect on events like this to think about what is the education our children and young adults are receiving, and what it is that we as educators can do to mitigate these kinds of terrible events. We commend the souls of these people to the divine, and we hope that their families will find comfort in our mobilization and solidarity with them. And now we'll have a moment of silence. May the memory of these 8 souls, 6 Asian Americans, and 2 people of Latino backgrounds be for a blessing in their families and a reminder and a warning in our communities across America of what gun violence and the very difficult state of mental health services portend for our nation. May their memories be for a blessing, and we say amen. At this time, I believe we're going to call on our CEO, Mr. Alfredo, to share with us his report, and we thank him for his leadership.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak, and good evening to the entire Magnolia family, staff, and community. And thank you, Rabbi, for your insightful words, and we will continue with all our force to continue to teach our school community, our students, to embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's what we'll strive to. And these moments teach us how important this work is that we do. So we will do this with fidelity and commitment to all in our community. And with that, I just want to congratulate Gökhan. I think all of us, as soon as he let us know, I think our big smile from ear to ear just was very apparent and obviously speaks to all of the hard work that he's committed over the last couple of years. And I still remember when he was a young buck leading the MSA 7 community there. And he was striving for excellence back then. And all his hard work commitment has now, with his staff and community, has us a California Distinguished School. Even to say that, I think it brings joy to all of us. So we will keep saying it and saying it. And our job is to continue making sure that all of our schools are distinguished schools and blue ribbon schools, because ultimately that's why we do the work. So again, congratulations, Gokhan, to your staff, to your school community. And we will celebrate soon once things get a little bit better. And with that, I think when it comes to reopening, we're full force ahead as well. April 12th is what we're aiming for. And so far things look good. And we'll have another, we're gonna ask the board to help us in having another board meeting on March 29th. So we could share more details regarding our reopening on April 12th. So you could see just all the different details for each school. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba and Rabbi Belek, for addressing such an important and heavy topic. So moving on with the agenda, with the action items, we'll go with 2A, approval of updated health and safety policy. This will be presented by Ms. Hashmirza, our Director of Human Resources. Ms. Hashmirza.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, board members, community members and colleagues. My name is Daria Hajmirza. I am the HR Director of Magnolia Public Schools. Before I present this item, I just wanted to inform you that we made a minor change on page 24 of the health and safety policy under the stable group. And the new language says the charter school will allow teachers in elementary settings to be assigned to no more than three different stable groups during the course of a single school day or school week. So this section has been updated and uploaded to Board on Track. And yeah, thank you, Jennifer. And so I bring this item for your approval to approve our updated health and safety policy based on the latest updates that we received from the health officials. I highlighted all the changes as you'll see in the board report. So one thing that I wanted to highlight is our vaccination. So we included the vaccination policy in this health and safety policy, as you'll notice. And I'm here to answer any questions that you have. And also one thing that we gave more detail on the testing and reporting, and you'll see the cadences regarding testing. We said in 7 days prior to return of the school, all staff and students who are coming in person will have a baseline testing, and all students and employees afterwards will then test every 2 weeks for asymptomatic testing. So I'm open for any questions that you may have regarding the policy.
Thank you, Ms. Hashmirza. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public regarding this item?
This policy is updated and reviewed by Young Min and Kaur, our legal attorney. So just to add to that.
Thank you. With that, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? If not, the motion is for the board to approve the updated health and safety policy. Would a board member like to approve this motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Rabbi Belek and Ms. Gonzalez for seconding. I'll now take roll call vote. Rabbi Belek?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Dr. Dikpesh?
Yeah. I think I have a question on one page. I don't know if typo or not, on page 19, the second, third highlighted one, like it's saying for a full 104 days.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So this is basically the quarantine was, if someone was a close contact, the quarantine time was 14 days, but now it's reduced to 10 days. So there is a strike through on the four, but it's
there's
not...
strike on the four. I see. It's aligned with the four. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's not 104, it's 10 days.
No, no, it's 10 days. Yeah. Sorry for that confusion. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dr. Dikbash. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you to our board. The motion carries with unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to action item 2B.
Can I just interrupt, please? Because I think it would be helpful for our public to have just a quick reflection by our CEO, Mr. Ruba Alkava, to share with us the impact of the bills that were just recently passed in helping us pay for this opening. Just in a general way, if you could share that with the board and with the public.
Sure, Dr. Rabbi. What we shared with you last time when we did bring the reopening plan before you at the March 11th meeting, we did speak about Assembly Bill 86, and that Assembly Bill does two things. And that was signed by the governor March 5th. So the first thing it does allocate $2 billion to all LEAs across the state of California, including the 10 Magnolia schools. To reopen safely. So that money obviously is going towards, paying for any facility upgrades, including ventilation. It's going for the purchase of PPE, COVID testing, which Darius spoke about, our cadences with the different schools. It's gonna pay for certificate and classified staff that are doing in-person services, mental health supports, and a couple of other things. So that money, we expect there will be an apportionment towards the middle of May. So we'll be able to use that money to reopen our schools April 12th. And then on top of that, we have the $4.6 billion that's dedicated for, they call it expanded opportunity grant. So that's obviously now to really focus on the learning loss that our students have been experiencing, and then be able to now shift towards recovery and acceleration of learning. So those funds will be used for a couple of things. You could obviously have summer school, which we have for the last 2 years or 3 years at Magnolia. And then you could also use that to extend the school year. So instead of the normal 180 days, you could do 190 days. And then you could also extend the school day itself. Instead of a regular 8 to 3 or 3:30, you could extend the days just a tad bit. And any other interventions, tiered interventions, like tutoring, after school enrichment, different programs, you could use that money for that. And that money is going to come to us also in mid-May. And then the second apportionment will come to us August 2021. So we're planning around this funding, how we're going to use this funding for reopening and also to extend these opportunities for our students to really focus towards recovery. So we'll have more information for the board as that becomes available.
Thank you. I just thought it was helpful for people to know that we have had a discussion about the cost, and we're contemplating how to pay for things, and that there seems to be some funds both from the state legislature and from the federal legislature to support the openings of the school. I didn't mean to interrupt too much. If we could now go on to our next item, please.
No worries. Thank you for the additional information. So we'll move on to action item 2B. approval of COVID-19 testing vendor selection for all Magnolia Public Schools. This will be presented by Ms. Hush Mirza, our Director of Human Resources.
Hello again, this is Daria Hush Mirza, the Director of Human Resources. This item was brought to your attention on the March 11th board meeting as an informational item regarding our COVID-19 testing. So tonight I ask the board to approve the staff recommendation for the COVID-19 testing program to have PMH laboratory for our school sites at Magdalena Science Academy 1, 6, 7, Santa Ana and San Diego, and Los Angeles Unified School District testing program for Magnolia Science Academy 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8. As you may recall, in July 2020, the board gave the CEO, Mr. Balcava, the authority to make decision on COVID-19 related items. And with that resolution for this item, our CEO authorized to do an RFP for these services. However, we did conduct a comparison as we presented in the last board meeting. And if you go down, Jennifer. Okay, so just to give a background, so MPS will start the testing program in April. On the following cadences, as our surrounding schools, and then in the 7 days prior to the reopening of the school, all students and employees who are returning in person will do a baseline testing, which is the initial testing before coming onto campus, and after that, again, all students and employees will be tested every 2 weeks. And the frequency, of course, will depend on the tier the counties are in. And then, of course, the recommendation of the school's authorizing agencies. And if you refer, to Appendix 1, it shows the cost, the estimate based on the students who showed interest in person. And the bottom shows, the upper left side shows the percentages that who are coming back in person. The percentage of the students may change because our surveys open until tomorrow. So there might be a change in the percentage of students, numbers of students. And with that, I'm open to all questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Hush Mirza. Is there any questions from the members of the public regarding this item?
I want to say something. This is Suat. I'm the Chief Operations Officer. Myself and my team and HR department, we worked on this report and the comparison chart together. This is still a live document. We are still collecting, parent, intent to come to school in case of hybrid learning. You may see all the returning students and percentages. These numbers may still actually be a little bit more than what you see. Just a little actually change, for example, that happened. This board report shows MSA2 actually, we will have 150. We stated when we prepared the report. Throughout the day, we got a little bit more, and that number at this point is a little bit more. It was around 170, 175. Just to let you know, for the sake of the report, we had to cut off it at a certain time, but it's not going to be too much more than this one. All the numbers you see are, I can say maybe 98%, 99%. It's going to be the current dollar amount that we will pay to those vendors.
Thank you for the additional information, Mr. Ajar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
I have a question. Since in the budget implication part, we are saying we are projected to receive 350 to 450. but LAUSD is charging, like, this is per student or per incident for each student?
This is per individual. I mean, for LAUSD,
okay.
The 250 is per individual.
If an individual needs to be tested, let's say 2, 3, 4 times, then what happens? Like, do we receive for each incident, or we just receive just per person, right? It's not per incident.
So we will receive monthly invoice. This is Daria Hajmirza. Sorry, I didn't announce my name. So we will receive monthly invoices from LAUSD for the numbers of testing.
Okay. I guess what I'm wondering is, like, if the what we are projected to receive, like 350 to 450 is per student, but if same person needs to be tested several times, like, do we receive based on number of tests, or is it like capped at one time?
So
I can, Daria, can I respond to this one?
Yes, go ahead.
The major difference between LAUSD's surveillance testing and PMNH mm-hmm. that you see here is LAUSD charges a flat fee, 250 for 1 year or for the rest of the year. And they actually charge only for the students who are coming back to hybrid learning. So we don't have to pay for the ones who are going to continue on the remote instruction. PMNH, on the other side, they are actually charging based on the number of tests, but they charge only the students that they're not going to be able to reimburse. And there's a specific column over there you will see. So let's say, I think it was around, what percent, for example, for MSA 1, Daria? If you can, Jennifer, go back to the chart, I can show you. MSA 1's actually, if you look at 2019 census data, younger uninsured for MSA 1 is 14.20%. Do you see that, Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Yeah, so only, we're gonna be paying only 14.20% of all the students. That's our assumption. We can't actually find who's insured or not, but there is a general actually statistics that we can find from the market. So our assumption is this much percentage times number of actually tests.
I guess my concern was
it's flat.
Yeah, later. So I could add more context, Dr. Dikbash. Thank you, team. So again, with LAUSD with the flat fee, so the cadences are specific if there's no outbreaks, right, or positive cases. So in LAUSD's case, if you get a visual calendar, we have to do baseline testing the week of April 5th through the 9th. And then after that, after we test everyone, it would be every 2 weeks all the way till the end of June 30th. And in LAUSD's case with their program, if there is a positive test, let's say between week 1 and 2, you do have to do response testing, right? You have to test the person that's a positive case, and then you have to also test those that were close contact. So with them, if you do that additional testing, it still doesn't change the fee. It's still 250 times the number of students and staff, right? But with PMNH, which is doing the same cadences, right? Baseline testing, April 5th through the 9th, every other 2 weeks. If there is a positive case and they do have to come onto campus to then test and quarantine and isolate, that's gonna be an additional cost to the 5 schools that are using PMNH. And that is not reflected here. So hopefully with all the health and safety practices that we've taken, there isn't any cases or any outbreaks. We know that there might be some, but we're trying to mitigate how many people are impacted. So there might be cases for the PMH vendor agreement where there will be these additional costs if there's a positive test throughout the year. Does that address your question?
Yeah, it helps. I think I was wondering, like, based on, I guess, funding we'll be receiving, I just want to make sure that we don't go underwater. Like,
yeah.
We are spending, I don't know, per person, I don't know, 800, but we are receiving 350, 450. Then I think that explanation that they are not charging multiple times for the same person, it's just 250 covers the, I guess, whole semester,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and the 350 to 450, that's a base. The 350 is a base, and then depending on the school's LCFF funding, the okay. number of students, you know, that are low-income English learners, foster youth, right? That goes up. So it might go up to 500. We don't know. That information is going to come to us March 19th. And we heard something great yesterday. The Biden administration announced that they're allocating another $10 billion for schools for testing. And that money is coming from Health and Human Services Agency Department. So that's going to be a portion to the California Department of Public Health. So we're hoping that with that money, we'll be able to buy testing or reimburse this testing cost or expense and then possibly do it for next year. So the good thing is that there's more funding coming and we have to be very strategic how we spent it.
Okay, makes sense. Thanks for the explanation.
Sure.
In context, we are in red tier right now. When you look at the bottom, actually, the table, you see the orange and yellow is 20%, actually. It's going like 1/5 for PMNH. Compared to LAUSD's costs are still the same because it's flat fee, as you can compare it. And I read several articles. The rates are really going down right now. They are expecting actually some orange tier in the next coming weeks.
Other comments? Questions?
If there's no further comments from our board members, the motion is for, give me one second. Perfect. For the board to approve the staff recommendation to enter into a service agreement for COVID-19 testing program with PMH Laboratory for MSA 1, 6, 7, Santa Ana, San Diego, and with Los Angeles Unified School Districts for MSA 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8. Would a board member like
to? Can I ask one more question before we vote?
Yes, Dr. Dickbush.
I think, yeah, last time also, I noticed that, yeah, California Department of Education, I don't know, I didn't go dig deep, but they were, I guess, encouraging Valencia Labs for collaboration or, yeah, working together. So what is the reason we are not going with that? Or what is the reason why CDE is recommending or endorsing them?
So
in their webpage also, they were saying like, hey, you can work with Valencia Labs. So I guess, yeah, if you guys can give some brief explanation, that'll help.
Yeah, this is Daria Hajimeza, the HR director. With Valencia Lab, there may be additional staff costs because they're not administering the test. They're sending the kids to the schools. And then that means we need to supervise. We may need additional staffing for supervising and administering the tests. With PMH, we will have people certified health officials to come on site to be on site and administer the tests for our staff and students.
So if we had permanent nurses in each school, then that will be maybe better option. But yes. Since that's not the case, I see. Okay. Makes sense. Thanks for the explanation.
You're welcome.
Any further last minute questions from our board members?
Not from me.
Alrighty, if not, let me repeat the motion once more. For the board to approve the staff recommendation to enter into a service agreement for COVID-19 testing program with PMH Laboratory for MSA 1, 6, 7, Santa Ana, San Diego, and with Los Angeles Unified School District for MSA 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8. With that, would a board member like to move this motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Rabbi Belek. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Thank you, Dr. Yapanol. And now take roll call vote. Rabbi Belek?
Yes.
Dr. Yapanol?
Yes.
Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez? Ms. Gonzalez?
Why don't I come back to her?
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Last time, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much. The motion carries with a unanimous approval. Next, we'll move on to action item C, approval of RFP award for MPS Internet Services. This will be presented by Mr. Monoshev, our Director of Technology. Mr. Monoshev?
Yes, thank you, Jen. Good evening, dear board members, Magnolia, staff members. So this item is the E-rate related item, but it's for our internet service upgrades. 2 years ago, we upgraded our internet service bandwidth from 200 megabits to one gigabit speed. So all our sites, including the home office, is on 1 gigabit speed. We released an RFP through E-rate for 5 and 10 gigabit speed upgrades for all our sites, with the prices are also getting, cheaper by every passing year. And also there is a need that on the school's reopening, there is a possibility that we are gonna go to the hybrid model where every student might need to open their Zoom video conferencing software, even if they are in the classroom. So we decided to upgrade our internet speed bandwidth for smaller schools for the 5 gigabit speed, and for our larger enrollment schools to 10 gigabit speed. So we asked from every school principal, we involved every stakeholder, the principals and the IT managers, to decide on what bandwidth do their schools want. And we got the pricing through E-rate RFPing. So there were four bidding vendors, but one of them took their bids back. So with the rest of the three bidders, it was pretty straightforward to choose the vendor based on the pricing and our current and past experience. So we chose Charter Spectrum for our internet services for all our schools and the home office. The main reason is we are currently on Spectrum business, and the implementation time is gonna take since the fiber optics is already provided to all our schools, it's gonna be much, much faster and seamless upgrading. Lastly, from pricing point, of course, it was way, way lower than the other bidders. And I included all the documentation, posted RFP, the bids, and the evaluation metrics and everything to make it much more easier for you. I also included the Dropbox link so that you could click on it and see under the folders where which vendor provided what, because there were a lot of documentation. And also the RFP, posted RFP, and the bidding metrics. So this is what we recommend, and we are pretty much asking to award the winning bidder. And if you have any questions, there is a one note. So let's say MSA1 is gonna pay 4,800, right? Monthly, right? Which is like, let's say like round, I wanna make it round number, $5,000. Through E-rate, automatically discount, if approved, is 80% this year. So 80%, which leaves us with $1,000. And another 50% of the remaining balance is covered by the CTF, the California Teleconnect Fund. It's a state funding. So for our schools will pay not $5,000, but $500, the 10%. So the annually, the school will pay around $6,000 for the bigger schools and around $5,000 for the smaller schools. No, not the $5,000, $3,000. So if you have any questions, I'm here to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Monashev. Is there any questions or comments regarding this item from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
And the upgrades timeline is scheduled for the summer. So it's not gonna be implemented right away. It is budgeted for next fiscal and educational year. So the upgrades will be implemented during the summer break. That's what I forgot to.
This looks great, Rasul. Thank you so much for your hard work. And hearing about the cost made me even happier.
Yeah.
Thanks again also for following up on those opportunities to get these fundings to the schools. Great work.
Any further questions or comments from the members of the board? If not, the motion is for the board to award the winning bid summarized above according to vendor evaluation matrix and adopt the purchase of E-rate eligible services for each school operating within the approved budgeted amounts. Would a board member like to move the motion?
Yes, I make the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Dr. Yabano. Ms. Gonzalez for seconding. I'll now take roll call vote. Rabbi Beliak?
Yes.
Dr. Yabano?
Yes.
Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Mr. Mohamedov?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries with unanimous approval. That concludes the end of our agenda, our action items agenda, as well as our overall agenda. Rabbi Beliak, may you please adjourn the meeting? The time is 6:51 p.m.
Before you adjourn, I have one question to ask Alfredo. I would like to find out if you could use 1,000 masks, adult masks. So could you let me know if you could use them? Someone has asked me if maybe if your school could use the masks.
Hello, this is Alfredo. Thank you, Diane. Of course we need the mask. We need as much PPE as we could get to safely reopen our schools. So I will be reaching out to you, Jennifer, so we can make that happen. Thank you very much, Ms.
You're
Gonzalez.
You're very welcome.
So with this act of generosity and the unusual historical event of us ending a meeting earlier than we had planned for, I'd like to congratulate GoCon and everyone to remind people that we live in a world where we need to be careful of each other's health by our wearing of masks, and also that we need to be careful of each other's feelings, and also to do what we can to spread understanding and cooperation among people. And we are adjourned.
Thank you, Rabbi Beliak. Adjourn the meeting at 6:52 p.m. With that,
thank
have a great rest of the
comments.
Day.
Thank you, everyone. Take care,
bye,
everyone. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Go, San Diego.